In the name of Jesus, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. 40 days after our Savior rose from the grave, he ascended. 10 days later, the Spirit came. And the promise maker delivered on his promises that he had spoken to his Old Testament family throughout the ages. And the promise was delivered. And the church was born. And in languages up to that moment, the disciples could not utter, they spoke about the mighty works of God. And the world was caught on fire with the message of Jesus. And everything was changed, fulfilled. And that was nearly 2,000 years ago. And the church has been on the mission of God ever since. And it's your turn. It's my turn. Because we are part of God's plan of giving witness to a world that's lost and dying, that's struggling with fear and guilt and shame and blame and jealousy and pride and lust and greed. And it's up to us to bear witness to the mighty acts of God. Everyone up to it? Amen? Or do you gather here today feeling a little battered and smashed by the challenges of life? Amen? Gosh, how many ways can we feel less than up to the task? I know the answer's legion. But it comes to the core of who and what we are. Many times. How many ways can we be like the Old Testament church, just a bunch of dry bones? Right? Worn out, giving up, giving in, going along. Because after all, what's the use? Why try? That's the way dry bones sound. But God is always at work. And this is what makes us who we are. Because God cares for us. And the promise long ago was fulfilled and delivered to us. How many of you, don't have to raise your hands, said prayers, felt awkward, tried your best, asked for forgiveness this last week across the spectrum of your life? That's the Spirit at work. Yeah, it's a little different than the romantic ideas of the Spirit where everything is great and everything's going well and there's never a problem. That's not the Christian faith. Although that's what's desired in our culture in many ways, what many in the church are looking for. But the Christian faith is different. And we as Lutherans, we actually confess this as we explain the third article, the Apostles' Creed. And let's read this together. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. This is your life. This is my life. Gosh, how many ways do we want to run away? How many ways do we just feel like we're not up to it, and yet the Holy Spirit's there, assuring us that we're forgiven, giving us his gifts, and keeping us in the true faith? This is the mission and ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is what is explained in the Apostles' Creed. When I say I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, all articles of faith, we have to trust in the forgiveness of our sins when our conscience is trying to accuse us of all kinds of things, or when it's hard for us just to forget and we want to. The Spirit is there saying, trust in the forgiveness of Jesus. The Spirit is bearing witness to the mighty acts of God, the work of God, fundamentally in what Christ willingly did for us on our behalf. But there's more. Let's read it. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. Isn't it nice to know the Holy Spirit is that intimately connected with us, at work within us? This is the gift of the Pentecost miracle. And as much as your life and my life can feel battered and smashed, as many ways as we feel like in the hymn Amazing Grace, through many dangers, toils, and snares, you know, as many ways as we can sing and just as I am, with fightings and fears within, without, we have a Spirit who's within us and renewing us time and again. How many ways this last week were you wanting to give it up and you didn't? You kept going on. How many ways were you at the end of your rope and all of a sudden you had peace and you just kept moving on? That's the Spirit at work within you, ministering to you, blessing you. I mean, we celebrate Pentecost today because this is the game changer. And even Jesus says it. It's important for me to go so that the helper, it's interesting, the paraclete, the noun of the parakaleo, to encourage, to walk alongside, to talk with, so that the Holy Spirit would come and fill us. Oh, just take a big breath in. Breathe on me. You know, when we gather, sometimes we feel like we've had the wind knocked out of us, the spiritual wind. And in this divine service, God comes to us to minister to us, to revive us, to refresh us, to empower us, so that we can be the people God intends us to be. And maybe you're doing okay today. Maybe some of you really need this. You're here because God led you to be here. I mean, the Holy Spirit has us calling upon the Lord when we need to. The Holy Spirit has us saying our prayers. The Holy Spirit has us cracking open the Bible and looking at a verse. The Holy Spirit has us praying for the people on 75 that are scaring us and not just cursing them. The Holy Spirit's at work, always at work. And what a gift the Spirit is. Jesus said it this way. The mission and ministry of the Holy Spirit is to bear testimony to me. You know, I came from an area where there's a huge, it used to be an Assembly of God congregation, but now it's a non-denominational, and they spend a lot of time talking about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is like that witness that keeps pointing to the other one. He will bear witness of me, Jesus says. So, as we speak about Jesus, as we talk about what Jesus did that we could not do, rescue us from, the Holy Spirit's at work. The Holy Spirit's at work. I mean, certainly we need to, in the Lutheran tradition, talk about the Holy Spirit more than just on Pentecost. But keep in mind, all the times we are thinking about and taking comfort in what Christ has done for us. And as we share the same with those around us, the Spirit is at work in us and through us. That's what he does. According to our Lord's own words, he will bear testimony of me. He will speak of what I give. Of course, the disciples ended up writing the New Testament. I wonder where that came from. It came from Jesus. He will convict the world of sin because people reject who Jesus is. And the Holy Spirit will instruct believers. He's always there to teach us and train us. What have you been learning lately? What do you need to know? Do we even know how much we don't know? Not yet, until the Spirit keeps teaching us, and then we realize more and more. He enlightens us with his gifts. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the sign of hardness of heart is a refusal to learn, of a refusal to grow and to understand more, because that's what the Holy Spirit is into, to instruct us and to teach us. And some of that learning is wonderful, and some of that learning is rather sobering. And yet this is what the Holy Spirit has come to do. This is what he's doing right now for you and for me. This was God's dream, and now we're living it. God had promised, God delivered, and we have received, and we believe. What a wonderful relationship we have with the one who is the promise maker and the promise keeper and the promise deliverer. It's changed our lives forever. To think that we can have this kind of impact. What other enterprise up and down Independence across Spring Creek and Legacy can boast of such eternal significance as that which the church can? I mean, there are plenty of businesses that on those streets I've just mentioned that give us all kinds of temporal blessings. Thank the Lord. But nothing changes lives forever but the message of Jesus. The disciples, in languages before that moment, spoke about the mighty works of God, and people began to call upon the Lord. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And on that day, some 3,000 were saved. And it was a simple message that Peter proclaimed. It was Pentecost. But keep in mind, Pentecost happens even now. As we call upon the Lord, as we're facing struggles, as we share the truth of God's word with the people in our homes, our loved ones, as we even try our best to love and forgive our enemies, Pentecost happens. When we refuse to get involved in gossip, Pentecost happens when we ask the Lord to forgive us for our pride and our greed and our anger and our lust. Pentecost happens as the Holy Spirit trains us in the way of love and mercy and kindness. Pentecost happens in us and through us. More than just a concept, you and I are the miracle of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit in us and working through us to touch the lives we have the privilege to touch. We're living the miracle that we celebrate today. And as we gather to be revived by God in word and sacrament, to breathe in the scriptures and the songs that give us the scriptures and the truth as we talk with one another, it's Pentecost. And as we share the truth of what Jesus has done for someone feeling guilty, that's Pentecost. And as we thank God for the day, ask him for the forgiveness we need for all the ways we've fallen short and fail, that's Pentecost. That's the season of the church. That's the fulfillment of what God promised when he would make a people, a church, a body that would be the Lord's. And that's what we celebrate today in what God has done. The next time you feel dry, just talk with the Lord about it. That's Pentecost. And see what he does and how he cares and provides. I mean, at this point, it'd be kind of nice to share some testimonies of what has happened. And most of the time, the season of Pentecost is pretty simple and straightforward and just kind of slowly moving forward. And then there are times you think, God, I needed that. Thank you, Lord, for bringing the person in or having someone say this. I mean, there are times when we really need to have Pentecost, and we're so thankful when we receive it from someone else. And sometimes it's you, and sometimes it's me. but it's always the Spirit of God at work for God's glory and for the good of his people, so that we can bear witness to the mighty works of God. So share the gospel. Tell the good news of what God does for us, the mighty works of God. Certainly, they've changed our lives. But talk about them from the creation of the universe to what God has done in having to curse, and how that curse is reversed in what Christ has done for us on Calvary's cross, and what he can do to dry bones that do give up and do give in and only to be revived again because of the Spirit's work within us. I mean, how many times does God revive you and you're not the wiser for it? You're just going forward in hope and peace and joy and love. But there are those times, aren't there? There are those times when you realize you've been rescued from your dry bone problem again. Thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in you. Praise God for the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And share the gospel. Paul says it this way: for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. It's interesting, that word power there is dunamis in the Greek, and we get the word dynamite. You know, it might be a small package, but it has a big impact. The message of the cross. So what does the message of the cross do to sin? What does the message of the cross do to shame? Cheesy pastor. So what? That's what the message of the cross does. What does it do to fear? And in floods faith and peace and hope and joy and a boldness and a humility and a confidence to be different than the world that's wanting to all fit in and go along to get along for no good purpose. And that's when we see a different kind of Pentecost happening, where there's a willingness to talk, a willingness to forgive, a willingness to try, a willingness to love, even if it looks like it's not worth doing. I'm going to do it anyway. Because that's what that revival in the Spirit does. The message of the cross. How does Paul go on? He says, for since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God, through wisdom it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. So as you share the gospel, some will receive it. Some will think it's foolish. Some will find it, well, a scandal. Preach the gospel anyway. Trust the Lord, not the outcome. Look to the one who loves you and who has you on his errand as a part of his church that's on a mission to turn the world upside down, or maybe we should say right side up. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.